And we're back with Tech Days Online, turning data into intelligence. And it's powered by MVPs. And this particular MVP, Alan, I've known him for about 9 years, and he was a legend. I think you actually wrote the book on something called integration services.
Yep.
But like all modern tech guys, you've reinvented yourself, and now you talk about data at speed.
Yep, so I came from DTS, if you remember that.
Oh, my word.
And so I had a special love affair with DTS and then moved through to integration services and then Stream Insight, which sadly is no more. And then, yeah, I dabble with Azure Data Factory, which I heard Richard mention on the previous session. And I also do Stream Analytics as well. So I keep well abreast of data in movement.
Data in movement, hurtling around the M25.
Hurtling around the M25.
Right, so what have you got for us, Alan?
So today what I want to do is I want to talk to you about a technology from Microsoft called Azure Streaming Analytics, right? When I go to customers and they a lot of them do the traditional batch thing, mm-hmm. end of the day, move a whole load of data from their ERP systems and they move it through to the data warehouse, maybe do a bit of transforming and cleansing in the middle. But for a lot of people and a lot of verticals, that just won't work, right?
Yeah.
So you need to be able to react in real time. So imagine that whilst we're talking here, your credit card gets stolen from your wallet, wherever that is.
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
And then somebody, so Claire's taken your wallet and now she's spending all your money.
Yeah.
Right? So when would you rather know about that? Would you rather somebody gave you a quick ring now, or would you rather they waited until the end of the day,
yeah.
did the batch upload and then said, you know what, I don't think Andrew Fryer's account's quite right.
Yeah.
Maybe we should give him a ring. And by that time, Claire's currently booked a flight with Emirates. There's other airlines available. But she's now in the Caribbean, having flown on the A380 first
yeah.
class.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. Because she's a first, yeah.
Yeah, she's a first class girl.
Yeah, first class girl, right. Okay, so we're going to try and keep up with the sort of stream of consciousness
Correct.
In our business.
Correct. So the other thing that people have a problem with, and the thing that people have a problem understanding is that you don't, it's just a different way of thinking. It's the same ideas. Just a different way of thinking. You don't have to make things. What Microsoft have done is they've made it simpler to be able to take data at speed, do something with it, and react in real time. And whenever I show people being able to set it up, people immediately think, you know what, I could probably do that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So it's not super difficult then.
So it's not super difficult. And whenever I show it, people get to understand that you don't need to be a PhD to be able to move data at speed. It's not super complicated. You don't need special hardware. It's Microsoft have made it, certainly in Azure, very, very simple.
Fantastic. So are you going to show us how it works then?
Yeah, so this is me for a start.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
sorry,
obviously
yes.
We know each other, right?
Yeah.
But I'm a data platform MVP, have been for a few years, I think since 2002. I'm the co-owner of Elastibytes, which is a company that deals with more infrastructure than data, but we deal with data as well. I help organize SQL Bits, which is the largest SQL Server conference outside of the US, and we were there, two weeks ago in Liverpool, and so it's a yearly event. And also the event that you've been speaking with Richard about, Richard did more about that, mm-hmm. which is Azure Craft. That's my email address and that's my Twitter.
You're going to have to change that now to Alan ASA, aren't you?
Yeah. So what is Stream Analytics? So Stream Analytics is, like I was saying, it doesn't have to be, that's the other thing that people think, it has to be expensive because you're looking at data which is potentially coming past you very quickly. People think that it's got to be really expensive. And it doesn't have to be. Microsoft have made it so it's the cloud model and you can scale up, scale down, and you pay for what you use.
Yeah, and that's pay per use. So if you're getting loads of transactions in, your business model takes off. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Activity-based costing. I mean, accountants love that stuff, right?
Yep. So, and it works nicely, and I know that this is more ingestion than it is stream analytics. But Microsoft have also got two technologies, Azure Event Hubs and Azure IoT Hub, which is the ingestion part, which is the big fast queue, right?
Can we just dwell on that for a minute? Because I think people get confused about what's the difference. And
So there's a million differences, right? Okay. So you're right, people do get, there's not a million differences, but there's a few differences. So you're right, people do get confused between the two. So Azure Event Hubs came before IoT Hubs.
Yeah.
Azure Event Hubs are a partitioned, first-in, first-out, high-speed queue.
Right.
So you can have up to 1,024 partitions.
Right.
Each of those can process a megasecond, or 1,000 events a second.
Right.
Right, so you can potentially have a gigabyte a second.
Whoa!
Or a million events a second.
Whoa.
Ingestion.
That's quite a lot. And that could be from any service. I mean, when we used to talk about this stuff, you would be talking about like stock ticker analysis, something coming off Reuters, other new services are available, and not necessarily a physical device. But of course, we've kind of moved in, IoT is another thing that sort of everybody's talking about and perhaps don't actually think through the implications of. So IoT is specifically for sort of hubs, are specifically for devices then?
So IoT hubs, yes. So one of the problems with event hubs, if it is indeed a problem, which it depends, is things like, okay, so if I want to secure access to event hub, you do it on this access policy, right? Problem with that is it's not device specific, right?
Yeah.
So if you revoke that, you have to revoke the whole thing across the whole of event hub, right?
Okay.
Whereas with IoT hubs, what you can do is your device connects, it'll get a primary key, a secondary key. Somebody compromises your device, we can easily go revoke access for you. We can swap your key, we can regenerate your key.
Right, okay, gotcha.
Right. And then we'll find out, we'll have a process that sends that key back to you.
Right, so you've got people spoofing data in.
Correct,
so you can
have the man in the middle, etc.
Yeah, gotcha.
Right. And the other thing is what we're finding is we've worked on a couple of projects recently where it's all right that you're sending, or the devices are sending events into Azure, but sometimes Azure needs to talk back.
Right.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
So maybe you are a freezer company or you're a frozen food company or whatever, and you're constantly sending the temperature and the humidity of your shop floors, and you notice that it's going up, right? What you might do is you might have some kind of algorithm sat in the cloud that says, you know what? What we need to do is we need to go back to that fridge and say reboot. So you can send a message back to the device.
Fantastic.
And say,
okay,
do something.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, right. Because I want to come back to that theme about where does the data go once we've ingesting it now. We understand how we can get stuff from whatever it happens to be near real time. We're going to use this stream analytics thing, and ultimately we then need to circle back to what do we do now to close the feedback loop.
Yep.
Okay. Right.
So here we've got what is the... I mean, this slide is produced at pretty much every IoT stream analytics, IoT hub talk. But it's interesting that you see I've crossed out event hubs because for a lot of the work that I do, IoT hub is more appropriate.
Yeah.
But then you come into this thing which we're going to talk about today, which is stream analytics.
Mm.
And stream analytics is where you're able to take data in real time and make decisions on that data. So it's your credit card, being able to say, Andrew's card has been compromised. Or you're a betting company.
Mm.
You're a betting company and you've got a machine learning algorithm, because you can plug into machine learning as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got a machine learning algorithm which says, you know what, I've looked at this stream of data, doesn't look right. You can then say, we need to stop that market. And you can stop it before money starts to get lost.
Right.
So you can take that in real time. There's no way that somebody watching a stream of data could handle that, right?
No, I understand. Yeah, and it could be nothing more trivial than, you know, working out the demand gen for putting tellers on or people on checkouts in a supermarket or anything
Correct.
Like that with cameras. You know,
Correct.
All sorts
so
of
there's a company in the US that are using Kinect to do a very, very similar thing, right?
Right.
So knowing who's moving about, where they are, what times they are. Mm-hmm. So you can do management of your staff, right?
Yeah.
There's no point in having them all in the menswear department if there's nobody there, usually on a Tuesday between 2 and 3.
Yeah, got the idea.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And then you'll see that once we leave Stream Analytics, we can push through to something else.
Yeah.
Right, when I say something else, whatever thing I show you here, Microsoft will make me a liar tomorrow. Because Microsoft are constantly adding new destinations yeah. for your streaming. So you've got things like ADLS, which yeah. is the what Richard was briefly talking about earlier.
So Azure Data Lake Storage?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's the the Web HDFS, yep. super high-speed store. You can go to Blob Storage, you can go to Power BI. So the interesting one about Power BI is yeah. Power BI, or your analytics tool traditionally from Microsoft have been request. So pull. What Microsoft have now done is they've said, well, some people actually want to be able to push in, right? They want to do that tick, tick, tick thing.
Mm.
And Stream Analytics can do that.
Yeah, I mean, how many offices do you go into and there are some sort of like dashboard sitting up on a big screen as you walk into reception or the IT department looking at help desk monitors, and we just want to keep that continually up to date.
Correct. Yeah. So there's a whole range of stores that we can we can push data into.
So it's sort of glue in the middle kind of thing going on here.
Yeah, so it holds things between something being sent, something being processed, or being delivered, making a decision, reasoning over the top of that, and then sending it to something that you can do something with, right? Because the raw data to you might not mean anything, but once we've reasoned over the top of it, maybe put into Stream Analytics, it will tell you something, and we can take a decision.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So as we were saying, you can intake millions of events per second. So you can really get some really serious high throughput traffic here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you have really got to be pushing some events before it starts to push back on you. Yeah? And it's interesting that it's not just about a single stream of events coming at you. What you can do is you can take multiple streams.
Right.
So you can have multiple streams, and you can do temporal joins between those two streams that produce the results. You could also have a standing set of data that's in Blob Storage that, I don't know.
Reference data or something, perhaps.
Correct, so it's a lookup. I like to to use it as a lookup store.
Yeah.
So that ideally your events that are coming off your sensors, your devices or whatever, only have IDs.
Yeah, and then we can turn that maybe back into a car or a person, employee, whatever it happens to be.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. But the devices will want to send out a packet that's this big.
Yeah.
You can make it this big in Stream Analytics.
Right. Yeah. Of course, we've got limited. I mean, the bandwidth, obviously, is off those devices. They're typically low-power devices with not much in them. And we've got a chap on later on with some of those devices that we can...
Cool. Cool. So it's a PaaS offering.
Yeah, I know. It's one of my subtexts when I talk about Azure. I hate servers.
Okay.
This is good. I don't have to worry about, I haven't got to build a cluster. I haven't got to...
Correct.
Any of that kind of malarkey.
Correct. So I think if you're going to be in the cloud, you should start off all the way over on the right. You know the diagram where you start off with VMs, then you do IaaS, then you do PaaS, then you do SaaS. I think the way we like to approach it is we start off with SaaS, and you've got to tell me why you don't want that.
Mm.
And then we go to PaaS, and then we go to IaaS.
Yeah.
So PaaS basically means you just manage the deployment of the code. You worry about what happens. Microsoft worry about how they're going to make that happen. So underneath Stream Analytics, there's a whole cluster of boxes that allow you to run at such fast speeds. They parallelize all the queries, they compose all the queries across the nodes and the data, and allow you to stream data really quickly. Yeah, but me, I don't care about that. That's yours, Microsoft's job.
Yeah. I don't do that. It's just
So you don't do any performance tuning. You can spin up a number of resources on demand. And that's the beauty of the PaaS model, right, is that it goes like this.
Yeah.
Right, you can say, you know what, when you get to a certain amount of CPU usage, whoop, do this, and come back in again.
And we just pay for that.
You just pay for it, right? Yeah. You get a credit card bill at the end of the month, or it comes off your enterprise agreement, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just pay that. You don't need to go out and buy a big box and then wonder why you're only using this amount of it for 90% of the year, and then 10% of the year you actually might use part of it. Yeah, so it's a beautiful model. PaaS is a beautiful model. And that's what we've got with Stream Analytics.
Fantastic.
Okay, so it's guaranteed uptime, 3 nines of availability. Not being able to do the maths in my head, it's you're a few hours every year of downtime potentially.
And is there a sort of a guaranteed transaction model? I mean, I can get the service, might be down, but we're not going to lose necessarily anything.
Correct. You're not going to lose it.
Right.
You're guaranteed not to lose.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And that's one of the beauties of going back to event hubs as well, is we've got a customer that uses it as a pseudo store.
Oh, right.
Right? So they will do something on a weekend, and they will have it in real time. So they'll use the event hub as a real-time source, right? So they're processing data in real time. But then what they'll do is they'll get back to the office on Monday, Tuesday, and they'll say, you know what? What would happen if we did something in Stream Analytics a little bit differently? What if we changed the algorithm in Stream Analytics? But then they've still got all the events on the Event Hub. So they say to the Event Hub, just play it, and you can play it as fast as you want, right?
Right.
Right, so you don't have to play it real time. You can play it as fast as you want, and you play it through your new algorithm.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant way of doing it. Instead of testing, I've seen them before doing that, get tapes, try to rewind it, and replay the data. It was a nightmare. We briefly spoke about this. You only pay for what you use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the way it should be, right? Nobody likes paying for something that they don't.
I think it democratizes as well. You know, we have startups looking at this kind of thing and zero infrastructure and all those kind of all that goodness. So perhaps before this kind of complex event processing, which is I think perhaps how we characterize this,
correct,
has been in the purview of the big boys.
Yep. So this is interesting, right? So so this SQL-like language. So what I think somebody at Microsoft did is they said, you know what, how can we make things less scary? Yeah, let's introduce a SQL-like language to our tooling. Look at DocumentDB. DocumentDB uses a SQL-like language to be able to query documents. Same with Stream Analytics. So Stream Analytics uses the SQL paradigm for querying, and I've got a slide either next or in a couple that allows you to do your select, whatever your projection is, from stream, whatever you've named that, where value equals X and something equals Y, and etc. Right? And we all understand that. All of us, as certainly coming from a SQL world, and in fact, most people now, I guess, at university will have studied some kind of structured query language.
Yeah, totally. Right?
So this paradigm, this way of working, makes it nice, and it makes it less hard to get into.
Yeah, and I think that's another reduce of friction point. We would probably all want to do real time if we could, and cost has been a problem, complexity is a problem, skills are a problem.
Exactly.
And we're just gradually unlocking some of this stuff.
Correct. That is exactly right. And you've basically summed up my previous whatever
we'll go down the coffee now. We want to see it, though.
But that's exactly what Microsoft have done. They've said, you know what, let's help people to do this without making it scary.
Yeah, and I think these bottom two points are perhaps where people are getting, what is this temporal thing now, and what does that mean? So we probably need to...
Yep, so I've got a couple of slides later on that do this temporal windowing and joining, because you're right, even though you're joining two streams together, if you're from a SQL world and you see those events, you know that those events are in different streams, they might not happen together, right?
No,
which means that they don't happen.
No.
Right? So that can play with your head.
Yeah.
Right?
So you might want the latest state on one stream.
Correct.
With what's just happened over here.
Correct.
And then connect those two
you
together.
And the example is, right, that you say, okay, I want to join this top stream with this bottom stream where the time difference between the two is within my parameters.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because I know that they don't happen exactly at the same time, but give them 10 seconds, 5 seconds. As long as they happen, then we can join.
Yeah.
So this is Stream Analytics, basically. So you've got your data sources on the left.
Right.
And you've got your event inputs. And like we said, we've got Event Hub, IoT Hub, and Azure Blobs. And our reference data is Blob Storage. And then what we do is we come into what is the sexy part, I guess, of Stream Analytics, which is transforming. Mm. That's where we do all the real crunching, enriching, correlating, windows, projections, aggregates, all of those types of things. And then we go to outputs. And I'll put ellipses there because it'll be different, as we said.
Yeah.
Right? But and then you can consume using whatever. Yeah. Stream Analytics has a super simple thing. So now, everybody, I dare say, that's listening to this broadcast will have used something called integration services, right? Integration services has the concept of a source or sources, destination or destinations, and transform or transforms in the middle, mm-hmm. right? Stream Analytics has a very, very similar paradigm. Here you can decide, okay, what are my inputs? Here we've got the box for a data stream ticked. And you'll see the IoT hub, which is currently in preview. We can select that.
Yeah.
And outputs. So you choose your output, you authenticate against that output, and it creates that source now and that destination. And then we come through to SACL, which is Streaming Analytics Query Language.
Right. Okay.
So this is where we can start to manipulate the data that's flowing between A and B. So you'll see from the DML on the left, the data manipulation language, that you got your classics, which is select, from, where, group by, having, case, inner join left, all that. And then you've got date and time functions. You can do lag, so maybe what you want to do is maybe you want to say, what I'm going to do is I am going to look at these windows of events, and maybe you'll have a 10-second window, and you'll compute maybe an aggregate. And then what you want to do is you want to say, okay, how does this 10-second window differ from the previous 10-second window? And you can do that with a lag function.
Right, okay.
So you can look backwards, and you can say, okay, what was it here? What is it here? And you can do the delta.
Right.
Right, so you can tell whether it's rising or it's going lower.
Should I have seen date time from parts before, Alan? I'm not quite sure what... Obviously, you've got to have... Key to all of this is that somewhere on this feed, there is the time of the event.
Correct.
We kind of get that from the event hub, presumably.
So there's two ways of... And I cover this in a slide, but I'll do it now. There's two ways of doing this time thing.
Yeah.
Right, there's the event hub does stamp it, or the IoT hub does stamp it.
Yep.
And what you can do is in your query, you can say, okay, I'll use that.
Yep.
And very often that's enough. Right, but what you can also do is you can also say, well, I want to use this timestamp by, and I will take an attribute from my data feed, and that will be how you compute your windows.
Right, okay, right? gotcha.
Yep. Or you can just say, you know what, when you see me, that's a timestamp. And for a lot of cases, that's okay, right? Mm-hmm. If there's no lag or you're not computing big windows, maybe it's boom, 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 boom. Maybe that is as good as a timestamp by an attribute in your data feed.
Gotcha.
So there's two ways of doing that. And that's the only way, that's the way that you do this temporal correlation. And you'll see down here we've got the windowing extensions, and we'll cover windowing, which is a very, very, very important part.
Yeah.
Okay, so you brought this up, which is complex event processing. What I like to call it is cloud event processing. Right, so not that cloud, not the Microsoft cloud, more of a cloud of events, right?
Yeah.
So there's stream event processing, which is more about high throughput, straight stream, boom, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas CEP for me more is, you know what, we've got all of these different things happening. It's coming into my engine. I want to take bits and pieces and I want to correlate them before deciding that something happens. So that could be a window of events from four different feeds, and I do more of the correlation stuff in that cloudy stuff.
And is that a recognition of the fact that some data is arriving at different points in time?
Correct.
So we're looking at maybe current state, taking the top off of each one of those different processes. This is what's happening over here and over here, and then making sense of that and then making a decision. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So there is a difference between streams and complex event processing.
Yep.
And Azure Stream Analytics handles both beautifully.
Yep.
Right. So you can just compute something over a super high speed stream, all good. But you can also take that multiple streams, slightly different arrival times, and reason over multiple pieces. Yeah. So what this slide, what these next two slides as well try to do is tries to get the difference between what we traditionally understand in a database and what we understand when we're doing event-driven. So one of the things about a database application is if you're querying your data warehouse and you use the same query, 99.99% of the time, I dare say, you get exactly the same answer, right?
Yeah.
Because the data doesn't change, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For the data to change, you would have to change your query. So the difference is in streaming paradigm is your query does not change, it's the data that comes through.
Yeah.
Yeah? So it's your data that's constantly running through, which means when the query gets asked again, your data's moved on.
Yeah, my heart rate's changed. Or,
correct,
yeah.
Correct, right? It doesn't stand still,
no,
but I'll still ask
not.
You. But then, yeah, well, hopefully, right, if it does stay the same, we'll cut this interview short and we'll go get a paramedic.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
So, but I will still ask you, what is your heart rate? What is your heart rate? So I don't change my question. Your heart rate has probably changed. If you've had a strong coffee, it might go up, right? Although you drink tea, but same idea, right?
Yeah.
Latency. So the latency of the data in a data warehouse, generally you don't load your data warehouse every second, right?
No.
Generally it'll be an end of day thing, maybe an hourly thing.
I've done 4 hours before. Yeah.
But it's not gonna be the same as an event-driven application, which is milliseconds, right?
Mm.
So when something happens on your source, boom.
Yeah.
You want it to happen. You want it to be running through your event-driven application.
Yeah.
And a data rate, potentially data rates can go nuts. So you can get tens of thousands of events a second.
Yeah.
Get millions of events.
So to a certain extent, what we're doing is in this whole engine from event hubs through to stream analytics is we're doing a sort of caching operation anyway, because we couldn't write that stuff onto disk that quickly.
Correct. So we've got a super high speed queue. So there are some solutions out there by other providers that go through a journaler, so it goes through a store.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really real time now, right? Because even though something like SQL Server is super quick, right? The very fact that you've had to take even milliseconds to write it, milliseconds for it to come back out again, is still a few milliseconds, right?
Yeah.
That could be a real big difference, certainly in something like high frequency trading, right? That's a lifetime.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of traders, if it doesn't happen in microseconds, they're not interested, right? Because it's been done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Deals have been done, and that's it, they've moved on. So you're right. So writing to disk, although you can be really quick, you've still got to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, and we briefly spoke about this, right?
Yeah.
So the Event Hub does write a timestamp on there, and you can then, so what you could do is you could, so what I've done previously is I've, the payload has a timestamp, Event Hub stamps it, and then when I get to Stream Analytics, I'll do system.timestamp for what is it now,
mm-hmm.
and then you can compute the time, right, so you can see this event was generated at this time, arrived in Event Hubs at this time, arrived in Stream Analytics at this time. And if you pump out SQL Server, you can have SQL Server do a computed column.
Yeah.
Yeah, that says, when I wrote it there, it was this time. And then you can track how fast each of your parts in the process is, right? And you can speed something up accordingly.
Because I guess the other problem is if we start putting loads and loads of complexity into the logic that's happening in this on the wire, we could obviously slow some of that down to arrive at decisions. So we have to be mindful of that too.
Correct. So you don't want to you don't want, well, you can't, right? But you wouldn't want to, right, let's do something, write it to disk, right, let's now go do the next process, right, let's go do the next. I mean, some examples that would work, right? But certainly not your credit card.
No, or yeah? Your micro trading.
Yeah. Or micro trading or whatever, yeah. Right? It just wouldn't work. So, different situations, but in general, we don't want to spend too long putting stuff here, picking it up, and moving it about, because that incurs time.
Roger.
So here's temporal joints.
Aha. Oh, nicely done.
So even though the camera can see it nicely, I'll twist it so that you can see.
Thank you.
So for this one, you'll see a very simple stream analytics query at the top. And you've got that timestamp by clause, which says, okay, for windowing, I want you to use the entry time attribute of the entry stream and exit time on the exit stream. Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to join on the make is equal to the make. And then what I do is I say, okay, because they can't enter and exit at exactly the same time, right?
Yeah.
What we're doing here is we're giving it a difference between the entry stream and the exit stream of between 0 and 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah? So we're saying if you join on make is equal to make, and the difference between the timestamps on your event is below 10 seconds, I'm going to say that's a good join.
Yeah?
Because realistically, they're not going to be exactly the same. So you can see here with the two red X's, this Honda, for example, can't match with the Honda at the top because it happens beforehand.
Yeah.
All good. And the BMW can't match with the BMW later on because the time difference is, I don't know, let's say 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So it can't match.
Didn't have the change on when he went through the bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, windowing. Most people, to be honest, most people probably want to do some windowing, right? So they will, a lot of people want to store data as is, so as the events come through, you store them. But what a lot of people want to do is they want to, it might only be like 5-10 second windows, but they will want to store windows.
Yeah, so like the average heart rate within a 5-10 second period rather than every
rather than every single change on your band you're not wearing your band today?
No, it's in the shop.
Is it?
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, so I'm wearing the old G10 thing today.
Oh, okay, cool. So I keep looking at it, but it's not a thing. Right, so anyway, so if you had a band or one of the other sensors, it will tell you your heart rate. Do you really need to know it every microsecond? Yeah. Probably not, right? No. So you might want to take the average of the last 10 minutes, I don't know.
Yeah, and if we look at engine performance, it's a continued run of an engine at a certain level of RPM or temperature that's going to kill it or reduce its life, before it needs to be maintained. So those kinds of things are what we're looking at when we're looking at maintaining, car engines or whatever it happens to be. Yeah.
Okay. Correct. So most things want to do it. Right.
And then also that's going to reduce the data, a bit like Richard was talking in a previous session. Yep. So we're only going to write out the average for each of these windows that you've created, or
correct,
max, min, whatever it
correct
is we want to. Yeah.
And before, earlier, we said about pushing into things like Power BI.
Yeah.
Now let's be realistic. If you're pushing a million events a second through Stream Analytics, Power BI will not like you.
No.
Right? And quite rightly so.
Yeah.
So what we would generally do there is we would aggregate it to get that tick.
Right?
Sure. Because realistically, that's what we want.
It's going to update every, 3 or 4 seconds. We're dealing with the internet here. The guy watching the Power BI dashboard is going to be far, far away from maybe the data center on a phone or whatever it happens to be. And it's not that critical. Hell, we don't even know they're looking at the damn thing. So does that really matter? So you might write a separate Stream Analytics job to sort of service Power BI as part of an overall strategy, perhaps.
Correct. So that's interesting. So if we get time for a demo, what I'll do is I'll show you.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
We're doing okay.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you. So you can write. So each Stream Analytics query can have 5 outputs, right?
Ah, okay.
Up to 5 outputs. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? You can, But what I find is that once your queries become a little bit more complex, it starts to get very busy.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so generally, I'll write a query a job.
Right, so you'd have a separate stream analytics job, so you can consume one in another one.
So yeah, no. So yeah. That's an interesting point. You can't do that currently, but I would like to see that.
Okay.
Right, which is where one goes to one goes to one goes to one.
Right.
Believe me, I've hammered that one.
Okay.
Right. But what you can do is you can say, well, I want to go to Power BI. Okay,
yeah.
We'll write the query that goes to Power BI. I want to go to table storage. I'll write that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to SQL DB. I'll write that. And you have three, whereas you could just write into one.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, but it might be that bigger query.
Yeah, sure.
I just find that it gets a bit unwieldy.
Understand.
Right? So, certainly when demoing anyway. Okay, so let's look at windows, right? So there's three types of window. Tumbling, hopping, and sliding.
Right.
Concept's really simple, right? Tumbling window, you have a window size,
mm-hmm.
and the hop is exactly, so you've got size and hop.
Yeah.
Size and hop are exactly the same, so they boom, boom, boom.
One right? starts when the other one finishes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hopping, size, hop. Hop is less than size, right? Boom, boom. It means you capture the same event multiple times.
Yep, yep.
And then sliding is where you get the events. Every time a new event happens, it gets re-evaluated.
Oh, okay.
So it does this, right?
Yep.
But remember,
a rolling average kind of gig.
Correct. You can have a rolling average. But remember, if no events happen, Stream Analytics has no idea anything's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Has no idea time has passed.
So that's in that window we just talked about rolling average. That rolling average, well, that dropped to zero because we had no events, or will it just keep the last value? Is it?
No. So it has no idea time's not passed.
Yeah. Ah, I see. Until it gets another event.
Correct.
So it just stay the same.
Correct.
Which is kind of okay because that's the last reading we had. That's all.
Correct.
We got to
that would
on,
be
right?
the last reading that you had. But if nothing happens, right, there's nothing to tell you.
We've lost the signal. The cow's off the edge of the reservation. We can't see where that cat, what that cow's up to now.
So, but what you could do is you could say, well, I want to make sure that every second I have something coming through to me. So what you can do is you can do a little trick, which is where introduce a ticker stream that ticks every second, do a left outer join with your data stream, and say, okay, I want to do my window over this, but if nothing's happened, what I'll do is I'll coalesce it to zero, 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 zero.
So in that situation, if you had three events and the average sort of was up here, it would just top out and keep the average the same over a period of time until you got a new event.
It would come down here, right? Because it would say, well, or you could go to lag. Right?
Yeah.
You could go lag if you wanted to the last window. So if you wanted to keep it doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you actually wanted to get how many things were in the last second, well, there isn't any, right? No events have happened, so it'd come all the way down.
So you must get a few people getting a bit confused by the output of this thing, even though they understand what they get, they don't necessarily get the implications of what they're getting.
Correct, and that is the biggest mind thing, right? So here I did this animation. I've had this animation for a million years, and...
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah. I'm very proud of that, but it took me all weekend, one weekend years ago, right?
So it's harder to write in PowerPoint than Stream Analytics.
Infinitely harder. So Stream Analytics is nice and easy to write into, but PowerPoint is special. PowerPoint is special.
Okay.
So I can spend a lot of time in PowerPoint. Okay. So that's the end of my... Have we got enough time to show?
We've got about 5 minutes. I think we can do a quick...
Okay,
show
so
me some
let
stuff.
Me... Let me see if I can get onto my... So what I very quickly wanted to do was I will... very quickly show you. I've got some stuff coming through.
Oh, right.
So you'll see that I've got, here's where, remember I said that you can get your devices, get primary keys, secondary keys. Here's the connection string, is it connected, right? So data, what will happen is once it connects up to the IoT hub, my IoT hub. I've got a little device here that you can briefly see. You'll see it ticking.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a little POS generator.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's generating data and it's sending it up to IoT hub. So that should start to come through.
Well, there you go.
So I've got some data coming through.
Right.
Not an awful lot. No, it's maybe 17 events a second.
Right.
But okay, so let me go through and you'll see I'm here. So there's my IoT hub here.
Yep. So in the Azure portal now.
Right. Yep. So, but I always find it easier to manage stream analytics in the old portal.
Yeah, I understand.
So
there's a few things you need to use the old portal for.
Correct.
AD, this, and machine learning, I think, are the three.
Correct, correct. Yeah. I dare say there's more, but you're right. There is stream analytics in the new portal, but you know what? I always, maybe it's because I'm old school, but I do prefer to do it here. So let me just wait for these to refresh. And I'll show you a couple of interesting ones. Right, so I've got a number of queries. So here we go. So I've got Nexus. Okay, so I've got this one, right? So I've got an input, remember? We defined the input. So I've got an input and I've named it streaming and it connects to the IoT hub.
Right.
I've got an output, it goes straight to blob storage.
Okay.
But the interesting thing about that is this thing here, right? You see functions?
Mm-hmm.
Functions is where you can call into machine learning, which is your little baby, right?
So you call the REST API in machine learning.
Correct.
Right.
And you'll see that we've got a little machine learning function here. So you provide the URL and the key, and it returns to you your name, and it says, okay, what do you want to, what parameters it's expecting? So then what you can do is you can go into here, go into query, and you can do things like with initial as select star, that's from streaming, which is the name of the stream that I've given it.
Yep.
And you can do Nexus func over one of the attributes.
Yep.
And then what you do is you just do, so this one is the Matchbox recommender.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So basically this says, okay, give me something, which is r.item, which is the alias that we gave up here. And I will give you a related item, i.e. you bought this, maybe you want to buy this.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's machine learning. So that's really powerful, that's relatively new. That's probably just before Christmas, maybe.
Yeah, and it also shows the power of machine learning scaling to keep in track in line with stream analytics.
Correct.
That's interesting.
So like I said, you can go to there, but what you can also do is, for this one, last one, I've got a lookup data set. I've got a lookup data set, which is a blob data set. Yeah, it's held in blob storage, so you can see.
Yeah.
This held in blob storage. And what we'll do is we will create a query because it's a reference data set. And remember when I showed you the inputs, we had a streaming and a reference data set.
So,
because it's a reference data set, we don't have to provide any temporal semantics.
Yeah, so what this is going to do is turn the SKU back into an actual product and
correct.
The rest of it.
Correct.
We need to blend that into what you've already
correct.
Got.
Correct. So it, basically what this query does is it says, okay, take all the attributes from the real-time feed, and then potentially these people have a loyalty card. On that loyalty card will be details like your year of birth, your gender, location where you live, maybe just a region or wherever, right? So then what we can do is you can see that we've created aliases of S for streaming, L for lookup.
Yep.
Not complicated.
No.
And what we'll do is we'll do a left outer join because not everybody has a loyalty card.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So we'll do the left outer join, and in a lot of examples, these will be blank.
Right.
But for those ones that where you do have a loyalty card, we'll have filled it in. And I will do this last one. This is my windowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to do date add. So I'm going to take a minute. And that's when this window opened. System.timestamp is now. I'm timestamping for my windows. I'm timestamping by receipt date time, which is on the feed coming in. And I'm grouping by a tumbling window. Remember, that's the window that does this, not this. Yeah. By a minute, and then shop ID and SKU.
So this is how much we're selling by minute in a particular shop.
Correct. So then you can go on and do something else. But hopefully, when people look at this again, they'll think, well, it's dead easy, right? Yeah. I've got an input, got an output, and I've got queries in the middle. It looks like TSQL, PLSQL, whatever SQL. And it doesn't have to be scary.
Yeah, and like most of the other services we'll be looking at today, you know, you can just go onto the Azure portal, just look around for Azure Stream Analytics, and there's going to be a sample. That toll booth example, I think, is one of
correct, those. Correct, correct.
And you can spin that up inside your own subscription, whether that's a trial subscription or hopefully an MSCN subscription. So you can go and have a play with this. And as I'm getting this. I haven't really played with this, Alan. And that I get what you're doing now. And it's kind of firing me up to go and have a play with my own stuff. So
one of the other things that people might be interested in is IoT Hub.
Yeah.
There's a free SKU.
Right. Okay.
Right. So you can have up to 8,000 events a day, which for playing around with,
plenty.
Perfectly happy. Right. So a free SKU, brilliant.
Right, Alan, thank you as ever, and genius, genius stuff. Good to see you keeping your skills up to date. Lovely bit of technology. You must be super busy working on stuff with that.
Always.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Not a problem. Always a pleasure, Andrew.
Right. Thank you. Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
Right, we'll be back after the break with, I should know who it's with, and I forgot.
Andy,
your other man. Yeah, we're back with Andy Cross. Sorry about that. We're back with Andy Cross. So that should be really interesting as well, ADF.